Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Gritman, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the program, 844-326-3663. That's the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663. You can also shoot us a phone call on that same number, should you elect to do so, 844-326-3663. South Carolina fans, Clemson fans, I have given you both my theories on your games this weekend. I think they are both winnable games. I think they are both losable games. I think they are both games that come down to one predominant factor. For the Clemson Tigers, the predominant factor to me is the defensive line. You are going to have to be good in order to try to eliminate Darian Mintz's impact on the football game. The kid can play. For South Carolina, Mike Shula, you're going to open up the playbook? You're going to do what you did against Bama for 3.5 quarters? Or are you going to go back to what you were doing for the previous 7 games and the final 6 minutes against Alabama, which are the 6 minutes that cost you that football game? That's the game right there. Defensively, again, I think we've seen over the last couple of games, I think you've seen an up in the aggression of the defense as far as disrupting the pass game. You're going to have to contain Trinidad Chambliss. The guy can get outside and he can boot scoot a little bit. But we have seen teams like Arkansas who held him under 20 rushing yards. It can be done. And if you can keep that dude's legs from becoming the weapon, he's not a great passer of the football. I have called him a poor man's Lenoris Sellers because he wants to escape and run around like Lenoris, but I'm not as afraid of his arm as I am Lenoris Sellers. So if you can keep him contained, don't let his legs become the primary weapon. Defensively, you're going to be fine, and I think you can do that. I just don't know if your offense is going to be open up to scoring points like it did against Alabama. So those two are my thoughts on those two games. We've talked about some of the other big games around the college football world. We've got a few more that we will get into later on in the show. But I did want to jump into a conversation that now continues from yesterday. Jeff Landry is the governor of the state of Louisiana. And I don't know why. I have my theories. To be honest with you, I don't know if they're appropriate for the radio or not, but they are what they are. I've got my theories on why Jeff Landry has decided that he wants his fingerprints all over what is happening with LSU's head football coaching position. I do not think that anybody but the athletic department should be in charge of that decision. Now, you can say Scott Woodward should not be. He's the guy who hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. And I would like to point out that while at the time on the radio down in Florida, I pointed out that I don't think that hiring is going to work. I think Jimbo Fisher is a good coach. I don't think he's of the highest quality. I think you're paying him too much. I think you are doing it all on the fact that he got Jameis Winston. On the flip side, part of why you fire a coach is because, hire a coach is because he can get those type of recruits. He got Jameis Winston. By the way, Jameis Winston was going to Alabama. And one of, I think, You know, we always have those butterfly effect conversations. What happens if the Dolphins sign Drew Brees, right? The NFL landscape probably looks different. Nick Saban probably never comes to the University of Alabama. They're probably never a dynasty, whatever. Jameis Winston is from Alabama, and Jameis Winston wanted to go to the University of Alabama, but Jameis Winston did not go to the University of Alabama because Jameis Winston wanted to play baseball. Nick Saban said, no, if you come here, you're a football player, nothing else. Jimbo Fisher was like, yeah, I don't give a damn if you play baseball. Don't get hurt, but like, cool. So he goes there. They win a natty in 2013. Jimbo Fisher quits on the team because he gets a buttload of money, but it was Ross Bjork who gave him the big extension. Scott Woodward also hired Brian Kelly. Another conversation, and I was here when that would happen. Another hiring that I said, this isn't going to work. Yo, I'm from Louisiana. I grew up around LSU football. I can tell you that the culture of LSU football, I'm not going to say it's like deeper or more passionate than anybody else, but it is definitely different than everybody else. And I'm not saying you have to ingratiate yourself into the culture. Certainly it helps if you can. I'm not saying you have to become like, you don't need to come down there and start doing crazy things like, you know, shouting family. Like that's how you talk. What you do have to do is show up, allow the culture to be the culture while injecting your own part of it and win. And Brian Kelly's the most inauthentic, fraudulent person, fake person in football. So it was never going to work. You can go to Louisiana as a non-Louisianian. You can go to Louisiana and have a great time with people from Louisiana. They are welcoming of everybody. If you're there to be loud and have a good time, you're going to fit right in Louisiana. If you go there and you're fake, you're going to be ostracized. Like that's just how that works. So I get not wanting Scott Woodward. And I'm fine with even saying we're going to go ahead and relieve Scott Woodward of his duties, find a new AD, and put that guy in charge of finding the new head coach. What I don't get is why Jeff Landry would decide that he needs to be the prominent voice in this conversation. He had the press conference earlier this week. He was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday talking about this. And I get it. Like Landry has kind of become an LSU representative on Pat McAfee's show. Because, look, politics aside, the dude's entertaining. Like, he's a funny guy, so I get why that is a spot that he shows up. But, like, if I'm LSU, I'm aghast at this. No, dude, we don't want you involved in this. Because now what you are announcing to the college football landscape, whether it's Lane Kiffin that you're going to go for or anybody else, what you are announcing, even though you have the, I think, best job in all of college sports, what you are announcing is that if you come here, our governor is going to have a heavy-handed approach to you and your job, right? It's nice to say, and Landry at some point, I am sure, will be coached into saying, hey, you know, while I am here and I am concerned about the head football coaching position for the LSU Tigers, I'm not going to be involved once they... He's already said, like, I'm not going to be involved in picking the coach. But it's like, aren't you kind of doing that already? Like, you were involved in getting the last one fired. So, if you're a guy like Lane Kiffin, and especially if, theoretically, maybe your politics don't match up with Jeff Landry's, right? Do you want to go there knowing now that the governor has a heavy influence on what happens with that job? And the other problem I have had, and I've mentioned this a few times, the other problem that I have had with this conversation is that Jeff Landry, while being actively involved, hasn't been completely honest in what he has been saying about Brian Kelly. He's told that off the top of my head, I know three things that are factually incorrect. I won't say he's outright lying about it. What I will say is if you are going to be involved in the direction of the head coaching search of the LSU Tigers, you better know what you're talking about, right? So, there's three things that he said. Number one, he said that Scott Woodward cost Texas A&M over $70 million. That's not true. Ross Bjork did. Now, he was the reason that Jimbo Fisher was there in the first place.
I was going to say, if he hadn't hired him in the first place, that part wouldn't have happened.
Sure thing, but let's not pretend that at the time. Let's not pretend that Jimbo Fisher wasn't the most sought-after head coach in college football at that point in time. He was. Just, everybody wanted
to.
Why
are you throwing all these caveats in there? It's like you're trying to defend... Brian Kelly.
No, and that not at all. I wanted Brian Kelly gone. I never wanted him there.
And the AD. The AD should still be there.
What I'm saying is, no. What he said is incorrect. And if you are going to move on from the athletic director, and more, but not even that. Let me back that up one step. If you as the governor are going to be the governor who becomes the first the governor who gets directly involved with a hiring search for one position, right? Not get involved and be like, we want to change the way the athletic department is run because we don't like the way the financing is working. Fine, whatever. You are talking about, I am impacting the hiring and firing of the head coach. If you're going to get involved with that, I want to at least, if I'm a fan, know that you know what the hell is going on with that position. And when you say, one, that the AD that I am saying, and he didn't say I want him fired, but he did say he's not going to make the next pick. And if he's not going to make the next pick, what the hell's the point in paying him millions of dollars to do it? That's the guy that the reason that this thing happened at this other school is him, when it's not true. Like, okay, so you don't know what's happening. The second thing he said a number of times was that Jimbo Fisher, Brian Kelly, and Scott Woodward all have the same agent. That is also not true. They do not. In fact, none of them have the same agent. And he hammered that point a number of times. In fact, at the end of the clip from the press conference we played for you yesterday, he said, oh, all you sports media people, you need to look in these agents because Brian Kelly, Scott Woodward, Jimbo Fisher all have the same agent. How's that not a conflict of interest? Well, it's not a conflict of interest because it's not true. That's not, they don't have the same agent. Okay. That is factually incorrect.
What are your sources where you found all that?
You can just go look at their agents. I did go look it up. That's people, why I know this.
I mean, people always say, I wish the government would come in and fix this. And in this case, the government is stepping in, whether you think they should or not, trying to fix something. And you're picking apart all the reasons why they shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, but so here's my thing. And the take that I have here is I don't regularly have an issue with the concept of the government as a representation of the will of the people trying to make the lives of the people better. What I have a problem with is when they lie about their reasons for doing it and when their reasons are underhanded for doing it. And I am going to say, if at this point, because Landry made those comments earlier this week, and then he went on McAfee's show yesterday, and he repeated them again, which means that in 2 days, he had time to be told, and there's no doubt in my mind he was. They don't all three have the same agent. Woodward was not the reason Jimbo Fisher got paid $76-plus million from Texas A&M. I forgot what the other one was, but he had three non-truths. I won't say lies, but that was 2 days ago.
So what you're telling me
to fix them.
What you're telling me for the first time ever on radio or in media, period, you are saying that somewhere there's an honest politician.
Yes.
Somewhere there's an honest politician who never, and you just said he didn't lie.
Yes. What I said is I will not say that he lied. He may very well lie.
Okay.
There's a difference between I don't think he lied and I'm not going to say that he did. Making an accusation against somebody is not the same as saying he didn't do the thing. I'm just not going to say that he did because that's an accusation I don't want to make.
Well, just a quick question. So in the end, the AD and the coach should go, right?
The coach, yes. Brian Kelly, yes.
So you think the AD needs to stay just because of Kim Mulkey
and all that? No. So you think the AD should go too? No. I don't even have a stance on that. Here's the heart of the issue that I'm trying to get to. If we have in this one state a governor who is like, I am going to be directly hands-on involved with the hiring and firing of the head coach at a major institution in college football, that sets a precedent that I start to see it happen in other places too. And now, what do we have? We've got College David Tepper. We've got college. Now we have not football guys who want to be invested in what is happening in a football program without any knowledge of why and how things work in a football program. And they only want to do it. And I believe this is true about a lot of folks. They only want to do it because if LSU hires the next guy and it goes on, Jeff Landry is going to freaking campaign in Louisiana on, hey, I want you guys more natties because I helped get the right coach. And if it doesn't work out, he's going to blame it on everybody else. Hey, I got him fired, but I told you I wasn't going to have a hand in doing that, right? Like, I do not think that the head coaching jobs at any particular school should be a campaign issue.
A politician is using a political move.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
But in my college football, don't do that.
Okay, all
right. Don't do that. And the second part of it is, that let's put it this way. Let's flip this thing around. Clemson and South Carolina are both public institutions. What is the reaction? What's the vibe around here? If at the end of this year, Henry McMaster comes out and he says, guys, I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed with the results of Shane Beamer, so I want him gone. And he was to step in and get involved in, and Jeff Landry didn't outright do this, but I guarantee you it was the next in the playbook because this is always the playbook. The next thing was going to be threatening the financing of the university to not give him what he wants. That is a classic political move of governors around the country. If these institutions don't, Donald Trump's been doing it for since he got into office. If you don't give me what I want, I will threaten your federal funding, and the governors can say I'll threaten your state funding if you don't give me what I want. So what would the reaction be if Henry McMaster at the end of this year says, I expected a better run from South Carolina, I want Shane Beamer out of here, and stepped in and got Shane Beamer fired, and then said, I'm going to put together the committee that is going to find the next head coach at South Carolina. I have to assume that the reaction around here would be like, no.
There is no way that Henry McMaster could say what you said as fast as you said it.
That's fair. It would take 5 minutes longer for him to say it, but like he would.
It's somewhere in the middle. You'll just forget what was he talking about. I don't know.
We just got a text that said, if you don't want the governor involved, don't involve taxpayer dollars in the coach's salary or the buyout. They don't, texter. That's the point. That is the other point of this, is you are having the governor involved in like the one job that taxpayer money is not funding. Coaches' salaries come from television revenue, merch, tickets, and private boosters. This is the reason why the decision to fire Brian Kelly, according to WDSU, a news station and a reputable one in Southeast Louisiana, the reason that the decision to fire Brian Kelly happened right after the NN game and rapidly was because one person stepped up and said, yo, I'll throw whatever the number is, $45, $50 million towards his buyout. That's what, like, that's, I guess, that was the third mistruth of Jeff Landry. Was him being like, I'm tired of rewarding failure and the taxpayers being on the hook. They're not on the hook. Coach's money doesn't come from taxpayers. It comes from athletic department revenue, which comes from ticket sales, merch sales, whatever. Like, it doesn't come from taxpayer revenue. So that's the extra part of that. It is 1,000% Jeff Landry said three specific things that just aren't true. And I will say, I don't want to outright accuse the guy of lying, but he made those three statements at a press conference 2 days ago, which meant he had 2 days, and I'm assuming at least one person had to say, hey, Jeff, like, cool, love what you're doing, bud, but, like, these three things you said are factually incorrect. And then he jumped on the McAfee show yesterday and said them all again. That is the one reason that I'm willing to say he might be lying, because I can't imagine he had 2 days of being told those statements are false and then just was like,
all right, I just looked it up because I was curious, and according to AI Overview, so it may be true, for the current fiscal year 2024-2025, the LSU system is slated to receive approximately $196 million in state funds from LSU or from Louisiana taxpayers.
Correct. What system? LSU. Not the athletic department. That's a different entity.
Wow.
It's a different
wow,
thing.
Wow, dude. Okay.
Great one. Great all one. Right, if right. Somebody came in here and said, this station receives $1 million a year, Lonzo must obviously be rich. What would your response be to that? No, the station does. I don't. Those are different things.
This station? Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, I'm obviously exaggerating greatly, but yeah. You get the point. The issue is that the athletic department money that goes to paying a coach is not. I'm not saying it's 0% taxpayer dollars, but if there is taxpayer money involved, it is at a minimum. Athletic department money does not come at the level of an LSU in a state-funded operation
from
taxpayers.
All I'm saying is he didn't lie. That's
No.
He didn't.
He told factual incorrects.
Is it?
Yes.
No.
This isn't subjective. This isn't up for debate.
If money is coming in there, some of that money is probably going to the team.
Brian Kelly's money, as is the truth with Ryan Day, and it is the truth with Shane Beamer and Dabo Swinney, is not taxpayer money. It's not.
I'm guessing, and I don't know for sure, that the average LSU fan could care less about
that
all
doesn't
this crap.
Matter.
All
that
they
doesn't
care
make
about
it okay.
is getting a good coach in. I see what you're saying, but all they care about is getting a coach in that can win some games.
I don't disagree with you. But if you can't see or don't agree with me on, fine, we can have the debate. But to me, the ramifications of having a governor of any state become a de facto athletic department chair, the athletic, Jeff Landry right now is effectively the acting athletic director. He got a coach fired, and he got the athletic director fired. He is the acting AD right now.
The only way the only way that this is copycatted or anything like that is if his actions cause a coach to come in there, an AD to come in there that wins a championship for LSU. If it's more of the same, this is going to be brushed under the rug.
We'll see. We'll see. What I will say is, I don't want to take the risk. And what I will say is, the one stance I have had that has been consistent across the NFL, across college football, across everything else, football decisions need to be made by football dudes, not people outside of football. I feel the same way about Jeff Landry getting involved as I do David Tepper getting involved, as I do Jerry Jones being involved. You're not a football guy. Get out of the way of the football guys so that football guys can make football decisions. It's not that complicated, and I don't care if it's Jeff Landry or Jerry Jones or anybody else. Get out of the way and let football dudes make the football decisions, because it sets a precedent that can absolutely down the line become a big problem for any public state institution around the country. All right, when we come back here in just a minute, let's take a look at some of the NFL games coming up this weekend. Rashad Beard in about 20 minutes will break down the Carolina Panthers game for us. All that and more coming up on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is The Fan Upstate. We've talked a lot of college football this morning on the show. We will do so again in about an hour from now when the host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, Denton Day, joins us. We'll get his thoughts on the college football slate upcoming. A couple games of impact that we have not gotten to yet, and we will. Coming up here in about 15 minutes from now, Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the loss to Buffalo last weekend, the game against Green Bay up at Lambeau Field. Coming up this weekend, the update on Bryce Young, full participant at practice yesterday, which if he did indeed sustain a high ankle sprain, would be a miraculous recovery, to be honest with you. But we'll find out about that with Rashad Beard. 9 o'clock, the fellas from the Moving the Chains pod will swing by and get you set up for the high school weekend upcoming.
Did you send out a message to all those guys that the Halloween costume
required? No, absolutely not.
Why not?
Because, I could be wrong about this. I don't think Rashad's a costume guy. It's just a vibe. I don't think he's a costume guy. There's nothing wrong with that, provided you don't like...
Listen, Rashad is straight up Deadpool.
I don't disagree. I'm not saying I couldn't come up with some great ones for him.
He could dress up as Deadpool. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
Let the dreads come out the back. That would be even cooler.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong about it. I'm saying I just don't get the vibe. Kevin has a day at work where he actually has to be a professional, so there's no way he's pulling up in costume today.
Who told you that?
Nobody. That's just my intuition.
But he has to do at least one day a week. So
Denton, I could see potentially showing up in costume, but at 1,000%, if he does, it will also be a pro wrestler.
Or anime.
Yeah.
He's really in the
big
anime
guy. But in my conversations with Denton, if Denton's going to show up, he's going to show up as Macho Man. That's going to be the guess for me. We'll see. We'll find out.
I am telling you, John Epps, probably he dresses up.
No chance. John's too cool for that. John's too cool. He's too cool in his mind for that. We'll find out. We'll see. They come up at 9 o'clock, Denton Day at 9:20, Rashad Beard at 8:40. Let's take a quick look up and down, just an early preview of some of the biggest games in the National Football League this weekend. What are we supposed to do with the Chicago Bears right now? Like, what am I supposed to do with this football team? They're taking on Cincinnati. They're 2.5-point favorites on the road. It's effectively a toss-up game. They think Chicago might be a touchdown better. You get the points, whatever. This is a team that had four consecutive wins, but they got hammered by the Ravens without Lamar Jackson.
Well, so who has the best quarterback between the two teams?
Honestly, to me, Caleb Williams. Like, honestly, to me, it's Chicago.
Okay, all right. One of them's actually won a Super Bowl.
Correct.
I'm just saying.
That was like how many years ago that Joe Flacco?
I don't know. Maybe,
a lot of them.
10, 15 years.
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah. Like more than a majority of Caleb Williams' time on earth since that happened.
Yeah, he may have won it before Caleb Williams was born.
It's been a minute.
It's possible.
So with that being said, the Bengals did beat the Steelers. They turn around, they lose to the Jets. Only a 1-point loss. It was the best game of Justin Fields' year so far. Defensively, the Jets were as good as they've been all year. And on top of that, they had all the drama going on around their owner and yada, yada, yada. I don't know what to do with the Chicago Bears. Like, I want to say the Bears are the better team. I want to say the vibes, the Joe Flacco vibes pretty much ran out, yada, yada, yada. I don't know. I don't know how that works out. I don't know what the overall take is going to be. I want to go with the Bears, but like I'm going to need some consistency we haven't gotten. Minnesota is at Detroit. The Lions -9.5 at home against Minnesota. Again, like similar situation. I was really in on the Vikings. I thought Kevin O'Connell has probably been the best coach in the NFL the last 2 years, but the team is now 3-4. I'm not going to say for sure, but I'm relatively sure at this point. JJ McCarthy is in his, I'm not saying he hasn't been hurt. I don't think he's banged up as they made him up to be. I think they were like, oh, crap, he's not there yet, and they want to give him time to go. Now with Carson Wentz going down, what do you do? I mean, is McCarthy going to be back this week? Is Brosmer going to get the start? They're going to turn to a relatively unknown so that they can blame a loss on that. I don't know what Minnesota is. That being said, these Detroit Lions, 5-2, second in the NFC North right now. The losses they have, the Packers, and this was when the Packers looked like a dominant team out of the rip, and they lost to the Chiefs, turned around and hammered the NFC South leading Tampa Bay Buccaneers
week. Aiden Hutchinson just got paid.
A lot of money.
Typically, when people get paid, they don't play as well. I don't think it's going to happen with him. He's recovered pretty well from his injury and is playing really good for Detroit. Detroit's going to win this easy.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I just, like I said, I'm... to me, the story of this game is 100% JJ McCarthy. Like, what is he? I think it's a miss. But we'll see. Carolina at Green Bay. We're obviously going to go into this one in depth here in about 10 minutes with Rashad Beard. The Packers, 13.5-point favorites. Two touchdowns for them to cover up on Carolina. Bryce Young is back. Xavier Leggett did not practice. Everybody else in the wide receiver core did yesterday. Brady Christensen added to the IL. He is done for the year with a ruptured Achilles. Dude, like, this game to me is a game where Bryce Young is either going to establish himself as I am or I ain't him. If Carolina turns around and they get blown out by the Packers like they got blown out by the Bills, then the conversation is going to be, why do we consider Bryce Young dramatically better than Andy Dalton if they get the same results? I think he is dramatically better than Andy Dalton, but he's going to have to prove it on the road at Green Bay. The Chargers at Tennessee, they are favored by 9.5. You know what Tennessee is to me? Tennessee is another one of the teams that, like, their front office won't get out of their way. Their front office is the – hey, how's Mike Vrabel doing now, Titans? I'd say pretty solid considering he's leading a division that he was picked to finish third or fourth in. I don't get it. I don't get this team. I don't get the front office, and I think they keep killing themselves. And I think at this point – and here's the problem. I think they're breaking Cam Ward. I really do. I think they're breaking Cam Ward. I think they are going to end up creating a world where this kid cannot survive in Tennessee. And could Cam Ward go on to be the next Danny Dimes, where he gets traded, he goes to another team, a team that is competent in the front office, and he kicks a bunch of ass? I think the answer might be yes. I was not super in on Cam Ward as a draft pick, primarily because, as I've said a few times, I do not know that Cam Ward handles on-field adversity the way that I'd like him to be an NFL starting quarterback. I do know the kid's got an arm and he's got raw athleticism. Like, if somebody can be right for Cam Ward, I think he can be good. I just don't think it's Tennessee. Atlanta's at New England. The Patriots minus 5.5 hosting Atlanta. Michael Penix Jr. expected to be back. Drake London is a big question mark for the Falcons right now. That being said, you lost at home to Miami. Like,
are you surprised that line is what it is?
Yes. Yes, I really thought this would be, worst case, I thought it'd be 6.5. Like, worst case, I thought they'd make you play with the touchdown number, maybe 7.5. I got to tell you, like, right now, I think New England minus 5.5 feels like the play. San Francisco is at the G-Men, 2.5-point favorites of the 49ers on the road at New York. By the way, I don't know if I'm going to have somewhere to put this in the show. Cam Scataboo's injury was apparently dramatically worse than we thought. Remember how I pointed out at the, I came across the picture, like a side ground level picture, and you could see where the ankle was moved over, and it just looked like the end of a stump for Cam Scataboo. Cam Scataboo?
No.
The reason is because the bone penetrated the skin. Oh. It was a, compound fracture. The bone penetrated, that was the bone of Cam Scataboo's leg stepping out. It also ruptured a couple of nerves down there, which all of that, and it tore the ligament that is on the inside of your ankle, which has to be completely surgically rebuilt. Devastating injury. I will say this real quick, and then we got to get out. We'll get we'll get Rashad Beard in the next segment, and we'll run through the back half of the schedule later in the show. I do have to say this. Cam Scataboo, I said on Monday, the reason the loss was so painful was because Cam Scataboo was the great unifier. I did not know anybody of any demographic and any persuasion that wasn't loving watching Cam Scataboo play football. Cam Scataboo did something I didn't think anybody could do. He made Philly fans nice. Big Dom went to the hospital after the game and brought him Philly cheesesteaks. Like, a number of Eagles players went to the hospital because he had to stay for a couple of days. He had to have surgery there. Like, it had to happen immediately. A number of Eagles staff and players went by to go see, visit, check in, and bring stuff to Cam Scataboo. If you are a dude that can make Eagles fans nice, you're the great unifier, man. Cam Scataboo might be what saves this country in the long run. We'll see. All right, when we come back, Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast, joins us. We'll check in, get his thoughts on last week's loss to the Bills, this week's game against the Packers. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over a million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns.
If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Rob Brown Show, rolling on a hashtag Friday football fiesta. We have talked a ton of college football. We gave you an early rundown and some thoughts on the NFL slate coming up tomorrow. One of the games taking place in the early window, of course, your Carolina Panthers on the road heading up to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers, and there is nobody on planet Earth I'd rather talk about this game with than the man, the myth, the legend, my guy, the host of the Panther Nation podcast, which you can find on Twitter at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get at him on the YouTube channel, Panther Nation Podcast. Get subscribed, hit the bell, do all the millennial click the button stuff you got to do to make sure that you're there every time Rashad Beard grabs a mic. What up, fella?
What's going on, guys? Man, I appreciate it. Happy Halloween. Love the costume.
Yeah, man.
Love the costume.
Yeah, you know, just a couple of idiots who get paid to be idiots. We might as well have some fun with it. Absolutely.
Love it.
That, by the way, is the sound, Rashad Beard, that I heard playing around halftime of the Bills game last week for you guys. It did not go well for the Cats. So I'll just make the first question easy. What was that?
Yeah, that's funny. I do not know what happened. We did not look prepared. I want to start with this. I didn't really have, going into the season, I didn't expect to win this game. Obviously, you know, expectations went a little bit higher as the season went on, won a couple games. So I'm not necessarily mad at this loss. The how is a little difficult, but I also put an asterisk by it because there is no Bryce Young. I think with Bryce Young, and I came on the show, and I told you one of my concerns was having Andy Dalton back there with his inability to make plays and stretch the football out when plays break down. And Andy Dalton is a statue, and he got sacked 7 times, and the offensive line didn't look good. We dealt with a lot of injuries, and I know we'll talk about some of those a little bit later, I'm assuming, but a lot of injuries, just not good. Not good play, you know, our defense. You know, we play the Rico, you know, sound bar when we do something great. We got Rico'd. It's never fun when you on the other side of a Rico. And so, yeah, we got ran all over, and it wasn't good, man. So just not a good game across the board. Bad performance by the team. And I say bad performance by the fans as well, because walking into that stadium, it was a home Bills game. And it was super unfortunate, and I'm super disappointed in the fan base for allowing that to happen.
Yeah, that was interesting, and I do want to get back to the football, the X's and O's, but like for a team that the weekend before, and they didn't really show it as much during the Dallas game as I had liked, but for a team that historically is known for taking over stadiums because of the size of their bandwagon-ass audience, it felt to me, watching on TV, like Buffalo took over the stadium in a way that y'all kept Dallas from doing. And that kind of confused me, especially coming off of a couple of wins back to back. Like how did that happen? Was it like no Bryce Young, we're going to get smacked. Was it just like negativity, pessimism from the fan base, or was there something else going on in Charlotte? I was real confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I will say that, you know, Dallas isn't playing that well, so maybe their fans didn't want to see them. Maybe that's why we can explain that. But Buffalo doesn't come around Charlotte very often. So when they do, I mean, I have never seen Bank of America Stadium overrun like that. Obviously, we do have a lot of transplants in Charlotte, and there's a lot of people from other teams, a lot of fans from other teams that come when, you know, their teams come into town. But it was really bad. It was so bad. I looked off to the left coming down 77, and I saw a sea of red, white, and blue tailgating. I had never seen that. They had multiple tailgates over all throughout uptown. It was bad. It was really bad. And the Bills are a good team, you know, so I got to give them credit. When their team is playing well, it's going to, you know, their fans are going to show up. So that's what they did. So it's unfortunate, but we got to do better. And I think the way the PSL system works is a lot of these tickets are sold before the season starts. So the Panthers have to put on a better product, you know, consistently in order for the fans to stay in their seats and or at least sell them to other Panthers fans. Other Panthers fans don't want to come to the games either because we hadn't been playing that well historically. So we'll be better, though. We'll be better.
Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Let's stay with that loss, but talk about how it translates to this week. Listen, you mentioned it, no Bryce Young. I'm intrigued. Bryce Young, a full participant at practice yesterday, which I don't know what that means, because if he really had a high ankle sprain, ain't no damn way, because that's not how that injury works at all, short of unless somebody hit him with the Mr. Miyagi treatment to get him right. I don't know how that happens. On the flip side, do you believe that after what you saw last week, and by the way, Buffalo's defense, and this is really what concerns me the most, Rashad, Buffalo's defense ain't good. Like, it's not a good defense. That was a bad defense that stopped the offense. Is Bryce Young that crucial or that important of a player that the difference between getting kept out of the end zone by a bad Buffalo defense and going on the road and being able to compete by Green Bay is just the difference from Andy Dalton to Bryce Young?
Well, let's start with the Bills defense, because I think the Bills defense had somebody on the team that is very familiar with our offense and our systems, and Shaq Thompson. I do believe that Shaq Thompson knew exactly what we were going to do. The players said as such, right? The players said that it's almost like they knew exactly what we were going to do. And so I do think that had a little bit to do with it. I'm not going to say, I think Bryce Young is crucial to the offense. And I do think that Bryce Young plays better than Andy Dalton does. I firmly do believe that. Andy Dalton looked completely lost out there. He looked he's basically done. But I do think Bryce Young is going to be better. Now, with that said, I do agree. Buffalo's defense is not that good. Green Bay's defense has some very good pass rushers, and we have a banged up offensive line. It's going to be problematic. This game is going to be tough for Bryce Young and company. I have no doubt about that. We have to get back to the run game, have to get back to Rico, have to get back to Chuba getting back right. We'll have to lean on that run game and see what we can do, but it's going to be a tough out. But I do believe Bryce is going to allow us to have a better showing. He's just more mobile. He's just able to kind of create when there's nothing to create. And I think that's something we were missing on Sunday without Bryce Young.
That is going to be very, very interesting. Let's start with, obviously, I think for this game specifically, maybe even more important than Bryce Young, who, by the way, depending on the severity of that injury and how much of a lingering issue it's going to be, to play behind an offensive line that struggled last week, and now we know that it was a ruptured Achilles for Brady Christensen and now on the IL for the season, meaning even more rotations for a line that has already had to have some rotations. Man, like, what a terrible point in the season for that to happen and for this to be happening.
Not fun at all. Not fun at all, especially for a group that was, you know, top 10, playing top 10 football. You know what I mean? You had Robert Hunt. He goes down earlier. Your high-paid guard, he goes down. Then you replace him with Brady Christensen. He goes down in a game that was basically out of hand. I hate to see that happen in that type of game where we're just kind of struggling along. So Brady Christensen is out and probably going to be replaced by Chandler Zavala, who was on IR and now comes back. He's going to get forced right back into the game coming off injury. And not only him, I mean, you got Cade Mays, who's I believe is doubtful. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a combination we have yet to see all season on Sunday. So it's not going to be fun. Bryce Young is going to have to play behind that offensive line. an offensive line is probably not going to be as effective in run blocking, which is going to then in turn make him throw the football and have to drop back. And it's going to be one of those games where he's going to have to throw the football 25, 30 times, which is not what we want, right? We want to run the football. So it's going to be a game. It's going to be a tough game. I believe Canales is going to have to get something figured out and try to create something out of nothing, basically, in this game. It's going to be tough. The Green Bay's defense is tough.
It is. So what do we make of the run game? I think all three of us last week, Rashad, were of the impression Rico feature back. It's not to say you don't utilize Chuba Hubbard. You do, but Rico needs to kind of be the bell cow, the workhorse. And Chuba ended up with more carries. And my thought was, you know, there were a few spots in that game where Chuba was the right running back due to style against certain plays. So I don't think this was like, oh, what a bad decision by Canales to give Chuba the ball more than you gave the ball to Rico Dowdle, who had been on the heater. I think a lot of it was situationally based, but at the same time, like, this feels like a game where you kind of want to force the run because the pass rush is going to be so disruptive that if they are not locking in on running backs as a threat, Bryce Young becomes a tackling dummy.
Yeah, we have to force the run in this game. I think we have to force the run in every game, not just this game. I think that's our identity. That's where we have been successful when we're winning the football games. When we're winning, we are running the football very well. And so it's just going to be a little bit of a struggle because of the offensive line. I believe they're going to struggle a little bit. Those rush lanes won't open up as wide as they typically do, just because you have no Brady Christensen. You don't have, potentially no Cade Mays. It's going to be tough. But yeah, I think they need to rely on the run game. I am one that thinks that Chuba Hubbard does deserve a 50-50 split. But I do agree, and I think Canales also agrees that, you know, you got to ride the hot hand. And Rico is definitely more efficient in the run game. So I understand. I'm starting to lean that way, too, that you got to go with the hot hand. You got to go with Chuba. Go with Rico. Give Rico the football and let him dominate until he can't. And just kind of ride the Rico wave. We've been doing it for a while. It's been working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So got to roll Rico. I'm leaning that way. I thought that Chuba would be a little bit more effective coming back off the injury. I do think that he deserved a couple more carries just to kind of get him back right. He's a really good running back. People forget he was a 1,000-yard running back. So we're just kind of throwing him to the wayside like he was nobody, and that's not the case. He's a good running back, and I think that he's just not more effective than Rico, and that's just what it is. So shout out to Rico. Give Rico the rock.
So real quick, because I do want to get your 36,000-foot view of the game, but before we get there, another report dropped yesterday that at least one team, maybe more, have been ringing up Dan Morgan's phones asking about the availability of Chuba Hubbard. And look, man, there's factors that go into this. Yes, I understand Rico Dowdle's a good back, 1,000-yard back. That's all well good. He's also a guy that's been plagued by injury over the course of his career, all the way back to college with multiple knee injuries. And I guess I'm looking at this from the perspective of, if you get a bidding war for Chuba Hubbard and you can grab yourself a couple of really good picks out of it, I don't have a problem with the move. But I do think with Rico's injury concerns, you are kind of rolling the dice of, hey, man, like, we're a divisional contender. If Tampa's going to struggle without their top two wide receivers, if we send Chuba away and then Rico gets hurt and now we're leaning on third, fourth string running backs to carry us, if Tampa is wiped because of their wide receiver injuries, you're effectively forfeiting a chance to win the division. Is that worth it? Or do you look at the capital and go, look, this was never a year that we were like all in for a Super Bowl anyway. Let's grab some picks. Let's have them for us next year when we know a little bit better what slots we need to fill. Where are you falling on that end of the spectrum?
Bro, it's a very, very tough conundrum because I see both sides of it, and I'm definitely a team builder. I like the team building aspect of it. And from a team building standpoint, it's attractive to see what's out there for Rico for Chuba, because not only can you get picks in return, you dump the contract, right? We paid him a nice little contract, right? So you will dump that contract and allow him to go to another team, get some picks, free up that money. Hey, maybe give it to Rico, and then you still have Jonathan Brooks coming back next year. Again, he has a very long injury history as well. But I also would say you need multiple running backs. You need to have multiple running backs to make a run. Chuba got injured. That's great that we had Rico. What if Rico gets injured? You need a Chuba. So I think you need both running backs for the reasons you just said, right? What if we do make a playoff run? What if we do get into a situation where we are in contention with with Tampa Bay and something happens to one of our running backs. You have to have multiple running backs. I think ETN is a fine running back. I think he's great. But I think double trouble is Rico and Chuba. You need both of those guys. And I think Chuba is going to be better as soon as he's able to get his feet back. He missed some time. He's going to come back. He needs some time to get back. He's not getting the full breadth of carries, right? So he's got to get – it's going to take him a couple of games to get back right. And I think once he does that, I think you're going to be like, okay, this is the Chuba we once knew. So I think if they're going to keep both of them, and I think they should keep both of them, just in case, you know what I mean? And then we can deal with the future a little bit later.
I think it's fair. All right, 30 seconds. What's the breakdown of the game this weekend?
Tough game. I have low expectations for this game. I think Green Bay is starting to turn that corner. They have a tough defense. I don't know that we can deal with those pass rushers in Micah and Rashawn Gary. I just don't know if we can do it. If we can run the football, great. You know, a run game travels. But I just don't know that we're going to have enough. And our defense, I don't know what version of that defense we saw last week, but they certainly have to be better next week. Jordan Love is solid, and that offense is going to hum. I think it's going to be a tough out for the Carolina Panthers.
Yep, totally agree. Rashad Beard, host of the Panther Nation podcast. Follow them on X at Panther Nation PC. More importantly, get over to the YouTube channel. Make sure you are subscribed. Hit the old bell notification so you are notified when Rashad and the boys go live. My dog, appreciate you as always. I would say enjoy the game. I think it might be a long weekend, but we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Rashad Beard. Appreciate his time as always. When we come back here in just a few moments from now, John Epps, Jarrell Hendricks going to join the show from the Moving the Chains podcast. They'll set you up for the high school football weekend coming up around the upstate of South Carolina. Then Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime will give us his thoughts on the biggest college games of the weekend. We will wrap up the show with our predictions on the way out the door. All that coming up in just a moment from now. But now, ladies and gentlemen, the undisputed world heavyweight champion of sports flashes, the great one Lonzo.
The double champ does whatever he wants. Lamar Jackson, also known as Lamar Jacksons, returned for the Baltimore Ravens, led to 28-6 win over the Miami Dolphins last night. Jackson completed 18 of 24 passes for 204 yards and 4 passing touchdowns. Derrick Henry went off for 119 yards on 19 carries as well. Game 6 of the World Series will begin tonight at 8 o'clock with Yoshinobu Yamamoto towing the rubber for L.A. and Kevin Gausman countering for the Blue Jays. Blue Jays are hoping that George Springer will be available, though it may be a game-time decision. If the Dodgers win, Game 7 will be tomorrow at the same time. And Panthers quarterback Bryce Young was listed as a full participant in practice yesterday. The Panthers haven't made a statement about Young's playing status this Sunday against the Packers yet, but more than likely he's going to be playing. Hour number 4 up next.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.